Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Doing great. Just got back from practice. It was a little longer today, but yeah.
Locker rooms are in full bloom in the NFL again, which is good.
It's good, yeah. I'm adjusting. I'm trying to get used to that because we didn't have any of that in college. But no, it's good atmosphere. The guys are actually willing to talk, so it always makes it easier.
And you know what's interesting is that, like, since the Lions are so young, it's going to be even more so on their team. There's, like, probably like 70% of the Lions roster has never been in an open. Like, they don't even know what this is. This is the first like couple days here that they've done this. This is the first time I've ever had this, because like Okuda's class, we didn't get to go in 2020. We didn't get to go in 2021 ever. So we never got to see it. You know, it was a little better in 21, right?
Yeah.
Some of those guys brand new.
Any first year player since 2020 has not dealt with this before.
Nope.
So
brand new.
That's pretty crazy.
And the last time, and I was talking to you before we got on the show, it was interesting because first thing I wanted to know was how many guys were in the room. And you said quite a bit, you know, 20-something guys, which, you know, it's half the team that were hanging out in there, which is encouraging to me because it used to be when we'd go in there, there'd be like two guys in there. And that's it. And it would be like they couldn't get out of there fast enough. But in any event, Lions, of course, off to an 0-1 start and a tough loss to Philly, a game that was familiar and frustrating and all the things for Lions people, I think. Colton, before we sort of dissect the game apart, though, we started to talk about this earlier today and we got cut off, but the crowd was legit. And I think
yes.
We all thought it would be legit in terms of, you know, I know what to expect, I suppose, in a Lions when it's really legit, when people are really there ready to roll.
Yeah,
and I knew that would be that. I felt like you were a little surprised that how loud it got in there. Were you not? Were you okay? Here we go.
I was, and it wasn't like, I know Lions fans are obviously passionate. I'm not trying to say that they're not, but it was just like when you're in there and you're like, okay, this team, you know, it's the first game. I get it, but I just want to see like how much of that excitement was going to be there in game one, coming off Hard Knocks, coming off all that stuff, and really, the last few years have not been great, so I get it if people weren't excited. But we got in there, and like right before kickoff, it's like bumping. And I'm just like, I turn to you, I'm just like, holy shit, like this is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, like everybody was hammered. Tailgate was going. It was a nice day out, all that, which is festive. And it felt, it reminded me of, you know, a couple times, I guess, when they started the 2019 season before Patricia, everybody had totally soured on him. It was still pretty rocking in there, but 2018, the very beginning of the Patricia era, it was like that Monday night game, rock and roll, and they got a pick six to start the thing. It sounded like a Jets taking off of the building, you know, because that thing can get hot in there, and then everything falls apart, and then everybody's just like, what the hell? And this game sort of kind of felt like that a little bit for a minute, because last year's season opener, same thing. Hot crowd to start, and they were getting their ass kicked for the first like 28 minutes, and most people left.
Yeah.
But the half that stayed got to see the really passionate, hard charging comeback, and it was pretty rocking in there at the end, even with the half full crowd against San Francisco last year. This year, they fall behind, whatever it was, going into the fourth quarter. Nobody left.
Yeah.
Nobody stayed because they knew that, okay, we now have an expectation for effort, fight, all that. And the Lions delivered on that front. But the rest of it, I feel like, is still one of those, ugh. But also, you know, by and large, though, it was a hell of a day, right? I mean, the atmosphere was impressive.
I mean, you could definitely tell the crowd was going as the team went. So, like, even the first drive, like, when they come out, they score the touchdown, like, that's when it was really loud. And then late in the fourth quarter, like, when they're kind of, they scored the touchdown to make it, you know, 38-35.
I think it was, knock a pass down.
Yeah.
Maybe. They got up, it was like a third down.
I think so. They got off the field.
That's when it was, I was like, oh my God. I had my binoculars on.
Yeah,
like my eyes were like rumbling with the, you know, because it was slopping up.
Yeah. No, that was awesome though. I was very impressed.
Yeah, it was an impressive day from a fan standpoint. Lions game itself, however, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things. There's a reason why we don't do this show on Mondays, although we maybe going forward we can do something on Tuesdays. It's because we want to watch the thing and watch back and have enough time. And there's a lot to be encouraged about in this thing and a lot to be sort of like frustrated about. And I had a lot of people sort of tell me they didn't really know how to feel about it. It was one of those things where it was like, well, I don't know. I expected more, but maybe I was dumb for expecting more, or maybe I didn't expect more. To me, it was about what I thought we would see. And I wanted to ask you sort of like, were there things that surprised you before we started to dissect this thing? Or was this by and large about what you thought you'd see?
I would say for the most part, it was about what I expected. Yeah. You know, I expected the Eagles to win. I actually expected them to win by more. So the fact that it was they made it close to the game was, I think, encouraging. But it's weird. I don't know if I have a good, you know, pulse on things right now because I'm still an outsider. Yeah. But I came away from that game thinking, all right, I mean, you didn't win, obviously, but you showed some good things. But everyone else is like, oh, same old Lions. You know, they start hot. They, you know, they come back. They fall short. They still lose. Like, we've seen the story before. So, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm coming out, you know, with this outsider's perspective. But this is still a young team, arguably the youngest team or second youngest team, something like that in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, year two of a rebuild. Like, I don't know what you're expecting. Like, this is a good Philly team. Like, it's – I know there's no – people don't like moral victories here, but, like, you played a really good playoff caliber team and you held your own until the very end. Like, I think that shows that there's something to work with here. Like, I don't think this team is going to go, like, 3-13-1 anymore. So yeah. It's just a matter of, you know, fixing some things, maybe have better matchups going forward. Like Jalen Hurts kind of, you know, gashed that defense in so many ways just with his legs. So when you're playing a guy like Carson Wentz, who's a little less mobile, you might get home on some of those sacks, you might get off the field a little earlier, you know, give up fewer points. Your offense can still kind of put things on the board. So I think there are reasons to be encouraged, but I guess I do understand some of the fans. I've been watching this team for, you know, 50 plus years.
Yeah, I mean that you know, the general theme of an NFL game and how it ends up, they're all the same, to be fair. I mean, everybody sort of wins and loses the same way, one way or the other. But I think with this one, you know, it's interesting because I think when the Lions go back and they really dissect it and look at it offensively, they're gonna see how much they left on the field against, like you said, Colton, a really good football team. There are some dudes, not just on offense. You know, Jalen Hurts is going to be one of the more unique, I think, run threats they see. You know, Justin Fields is a run threat, but not quite like that. Not quite like Hurts is, you know, in terms of just the immediate, like, put his foot in the ground and go. Fields is a little more shake to him, I guess. You know, you're going to see guys like Rodgers who can escape a little bit, but not quite like that. You know, so I'm not as discouraged with those types of things. Although, I, you know, you want to see that finish, but that's something I think you can kind of fix as you go. Offensively, though, I kind of came away from it being like, man, they had opportunities on almost. They did something. I wrote down today because I was doing something for later in the week. Like, they did something okay on, like, every possession. They did something positive with the ball, whether it was a crap drive that they screwed up for one reason or another or whatever, and there's still a lot of that stuff going on. But they did something okay on every drive to a point of it didn't feel like it's felt in years past where there were hopeless stretches or whatever. The way that they can run the ball and sort of teams have to respect that, that's why I think people might have been frustrated. And that's why I think I understood that because and Campbell sounded frustrated too because,
yeah,
shoot, Goff's, what did Goff say? We could have scored 50. They could have scored in the 40s, right?
Yeah.
35. I mean, yeah, I think they could have scored in the 40s easily or maybe 50. I don't know. Maybe 50's crazy.
Even what. But, I mean, the pass that was just out of Josh Reynolds' hands. God. That's a touchdown. He catches that because the DB fell. DB fell. It's 50, 60 yards. You're walking into the end zone if that's a connection there.
Yeah.
So, I get it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and there was a couple, like, when I went back on the and, you know, we'll go into Goff here in a second. We're talking offense here to start. And really, the game comes down to, you know, the first drive, they go out and they establish what they want to do on the ground. They move the ball, all those things. The second, I think it was three possessions, were punt, 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 and then pick, or something like that. Or maybe it was punt, punt, and then pick, something like that.
I think that's right. It was three in a row.
Three and then And then so all three of them, there was like, at one point, I think on a third down, there was a snap miscommunication, and they didn't know what quite route they were running. or, you know, I think Goff and somebody else were off base on one. There was a drop, I think, in there. It was just like, what the hell? A penalty in there. There was a snap on the ground later in a game that normally never happens. And, you know, those things are all real. Those things all really happened because, and those are things that are September football that you can't necessarily equate to that. But Colton, I guess the thing that I start with every time, and I wrote about it on Sunday, was Goff. And it's like, yeah, but every mistake just sits there like a cross on the ground that you can't get rid of. If the Eagles make a mistake, they move on from it and they can erase it. The Lions never can. And that's the thing that I always go back to with Jared Goff and the offense. And that's where it all started and stopped with me when I rewatched this game. And I wanted to ask you, you know, first look at Jared Goff in an NFL game like this up close. You've seen him in preseason and all this, but like you're some stuff to like, some stuff not to like. I don't know. What'd you think of Jared on day one here?
Yeah, he didn't look great. I mean, I think that's fair to say. Like, yeah, right. especially early. I mean, he started off three of 10 with like 6 yards.
Yeah.
And like did not look good, did not look like the chemistry. And that's the thing that surprised me, because he had great chemistry with his receivers all through the camp. And you just didn't see it for like the first quarter and a half, maybe first half entirely, really.
Right.
So I don't know if that was just, okay, he only played one series the entire preseason. He kind of shook that off when he was asked about it, but I think you could tell there's maybe some rust there. But in the second half, I thought he played better. But, you know, like I understood why you went the way that you went with that story after the game. It's like, you know, Jared Goff, he has his limitations. We all know what they are. And, like, he's not good enough to overcome some of those things. Where you're watching the dude on the other side of the field, the other team, that just erase plays, like you said. He can scramble. He can move. He can extend plays with his legs.
Yep.
He can
doesn't have to be perfect.
He can operate when things break down around him. And, and Goff just can't. He's not that guy. So... But that's nothing we didn't already know. It's just kind of like, how much can they get out of Goff with, you know, his current limitations? And that's something we're going to have to find out this season.
So, you know, there's a couple things there. And I think, again, he battled back and all that, like we say. And this time it was faster than it's been. I will give him that. The game never really quite felt like, after the pick six was pretty rough. But they were kind of right back in it after that. And it felt like, you know, going into the fourth quarter, I think they were down 17, but they're about to score. So it was like they were kind of in the game the rest of the way. And Jared, I thought, really did respond well, because that's what you're really looking for. It's like, okay, he makes a horrible mistake, throws a pick six in a bad spot after three really bad possessions. And it's like, is this going to be the same thing where it's just building and building and building and he's going to collapse? And then it didn't. Comes right back. They go down, score or whatever it was. And that's exactly what you want to see. And then he has a nice second half. They get the ball to Swift. They do the things that you want to do. And like you said, Colton puts the ball right on Josh Reynolds' hands. He's got to make a play there for him. Chark drops a ball, you know, near the end zone. He's got to make a play for him. There are things in there that, you know, I liked from Jared. I liked that he trusted the offensive line more. He was trusting the protection more, especially later in the game. I would like to see that right away from him, like that sense of urgency that he plays with after he knows that he's just done the thing that he can't do, has to be there when the ball kicks off. And I don't understand necessarily with him why we don't always see that, and that's maybe the million-dollar question with a lot of quarterbacks. But Jared Goff, it feels like, is a gunslinger, a guy that's when he's at his best, when he's letting it rip. But it only feels like we get to see that when he's been boxed into a corner and, you know, can't, you know, so usually of his own making. You know, so it's like, when are we going to see him let it rip right off the start? I you know, that's the thing that frustrates you when you watch him. And I know it's been something that I think everybody throughout his entire career that's watched him, you know, there's a video of one of the Rams seasons. They did like an inside, I don't know, maybe it was the Rams team, that there's a video of McVay like talking to Goff before the game. One of the games, like, great day to throw, Jared. Great day to throw. Right? I mean, great weather. We're going to let it rip today. We're just going to throw it, right? And Jared's like, yeah, coach, we're going to throw it. And he's like, oh, God, please let it.
McVay's like begging him.
Try to beg him, you know? And it's like, that's the frustration with him, man, because where was it at the beginning of the game? Where was it? You know, all the questions that he got afterward about, hey, man, you didn't play in the preseason. Do you think that? And he was pissed about those questions.
He was.
But they're fair questions, because
I don't know why he was.
Yeah. Where was it at the start, right? Like, those weren't unfair questions, I didn't think. Do you disagree
with
that?
No. Yeah. No, I thought it was totally fair. And honestly, maybe he just wasn't trying to make an excuse for how he played, but
he's frustrated, I get it. It's after the game.
Yeah, but no, I mean, everything you said is correct, and that's the thing with Goff, man. Like, When he's on, he plays some pretty damn good football.
He can make some damn good throws.
Yes, he can. And like we saw it late with the throw to Chark when Slay was all over him. That was a money ball. And even DJ was like, yeah, Jared told me, because we talked to Chark today, and he was like, yeah, Jared told me that he like gave me a look before the play, but I don't even know. It didn't matter because he just threw a perfect ball, so I caught it. But
whatever. Here it comes. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like if you can do that one or two times in a game, you could, like, why does it take the third, fourth quarter for that to come on? Like,
yeah.
Why can't you do that in the first, second quarter? Why are these drives stalling out around you? And I know the drops certainly didn't help. You know, Logan Stenberg had a pretty rough game. I think Logan might have been responsible for some of the pressure that was allowed on the interception.
Yes, Logan had a rough day.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe, you know, you work on some things. Guys get more comfortable around you. You know, you shake off the rust, whatnot. But yeah, I mean, like, Goff, he needs to play better, and I think he knows that. He spoke today. I didn't get a chance to be around him, but I'll check those notes after. And I'm sure he'd say the same thing. I have to play better, and, you know, the Lions need him to, because, I mean, we've said it time and time again, it's a big season, but, like, if they want to win even 8-9 games, like, Goff has to be playing near perfect football.
Best season of his career, right? Like, that's what Ben Johnson sort of said it in the spring. Like, I think the first time he talked to the media, like, my job here after his promotion, my job is to help Jared Goff have the best season of his life. Like, that's what we're trying to do, because that's what needs to happen for him to continue along the ride. And I think that's sort of what everyone, I think that that's what they want to happen. I think that internally they want him to be the guy. And look, like you just said it, he needs to play better. And I think that when you really go back and you look at it, and there are limitations, like you said, he's never going to be able to make off-platform stuff the way other guys can, but he can play better. He can't, because he did in that game. Like, you know what I mean? He does that. He goes through.
That's the thing. You see it. Yeah. You see it. And it's like, it's just not there.
So it's not like you're making it up in your head. You're just like, he needs to play better, and he can, and it needs to be for more consistent stretches at the beginning of games. Like, let's have it. You are allowed to start out a game hot, right? You're allowed to start out 14-0 and then maybe see what happens and then throttle back if you want to. Like, I think that would be their ideal sort of situation, but they've got to get over this thing with him, and maybe it's the Lions too. I don't know. Maybe it's Johnson, maybe it's Campbell, and maybe it's all three of them. They've got to get over this, like, tiptoeing into the game thing, you know, where it's like, oh, Jared just can't screw up. We can't. You've got to cut loose and make sure he's ready to rip at the start, because everybody else is going to be, and they can't play from behind. That's the other thing, as we've seen, based on everything they do, and it's just like, yeah, I think that that's a fair criticism too. It's maybe be more aggressive at the start of a game. Maybe that's something that, you know, we could say as they go forward here. I don't know.
I mean, because you could tell the defense was gassed.
They were gassed in
the first half. And,
that's
because the offense was, they had 3 3-and-outs in a row. Like, they weren't staying on the field. They weren't sustaining drives, and then the pick six. So,
and thank God the pick six actually scored, because they would have had to go back out there and probably try to, you get more gassed. Yeah. Let up another touchdown anyway. So, exactly. It's like one of those things. But, you know, they're correctable, and they're one of those deals that you look at it and you say, like we said at the top, like, Philly's a really good team, and they are. And that's one of those things that you just sort of, okay, well, that's what it is. It's week one. But also, as you move forward, those types of things can't come up against a really not good team, as we've seen sort of repeat ourselves. As we go down the list here, I know that Swift, Colton, he didn't practice today. Is that correct? He was out?
I didn't see him out there. I did see him in the locker room. I didn't notice anything like out of the ordinary. I think it was an ankle issue is what he was officially listed as.
Could have been precaution. You know, we'll see what it is tomorrow and Friday. But his debut here in 2022, I think we both knew or thought anyway, I should say, you never know, thought he was going to have a hell of a start and a hell of a year. Think he's going to have a hell of a year. And this was everything we thought, probably and more. You know, at one point in the game, I think he had like 10 touches for around 100 yards. And we were talking upstairs, and I was like, man, yeah, that needs to be in the 20s, and it's going to be like at 150 or something. It was more than that even at the end. So
175 total yards from scrimmage on 18 touches.
Hell of a start for him. What'd you think of DeAndre and everything? And I don't think we've even seen sort of all that we can see with him here.
No, he was great. I mean, fantastic. And the offensive line was, you know, opening up a ton of holes for him, which is what you want to see. But he was taking advantage of it. He was throwing some stiff arms out there, trying to get the extra yards. You know, he's doing everything that Deuce has wanted from him. And I think that was so encouraging to see in week one. It's one thing if you, you know, take your time, you get there. But for him to do this week one and be like, yeah, this is the type of season I'm trying to have, like, I think that was awesome. That's great for the Lions. You know, he said his personal goal is to do 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving. That's really tough to do, so I don't think he'll get there. But even if he comes somewhat close to that, or that's even the fact that that's on his mind, like Deuce said it himself. Like, if he's challenging himself like that, that's great for us. And I think that's so true with a guy like DeAndre Swift. So he seems to be in a good place. We'll see about this ankle injury right now. I don't know if it's too much of a thing to be worried about. I guess we'll see if he's out there tomorrow, what his limitations are there. But as far as the season opener, I think that was pretty much all you can ask for from a guy like DeAndre Swift.
When he put the foot in the ground and went outside and just went and didn't bother cutting back in on that first one, that, you know, whatever it was, like, it was a little wham trap that they ran. And he went outside and hit the corner and just went. Slay ended up cutting him off, and he stiff-armed him at the end. But, like, that's what we talked about with Swift back in the summer, where it was like, just go. Just go. Don't screw around. Don't try to cut back. Don't try to mess with this.
He had one guy to beat, and he beat him up front.
Yeah, just take the dude and dust his ass. And that's what he did, and he's out in space. And, you know, it takes a 4-3 guy over the top to come get him. And, like, that's what you want. And he did that, like, 5 times. He turned what runs last year would have been maybe 6 yards into, like, you know, 15 explosive plays. That's exactly what you're looking for. 25 touches from him. Anything with him in the middle of the field is havoc. If you can get him, you know, in the middle of the field, or at least in terms of, like, a matchup situation where he's got one guy that he can cook, like, he's a bona fide playmaker in the NFL. Like, I think that that's what we saw finally again. And we saw a little bit of it last year, and then he got hurt. But boom, here we go again. And the Lions exactly have a plan for him. They have a line for him. They have Jamal Williams, or Williams, who can complement him. This could be really good if he stays healthy.
What do you think the magic number on touches is for him? Is it 25?
I like 20 to 25. Yeah, I like 20 to 25. I think he could do it. Although the injury here already sort of makes me worried already. Like, so maybe not. I'm just
wondering how much.
I think 20, right? He was at 18.
Yeah.
I think 20. I wouldn't want to sit there and hammer him like 23 carries a game. I wouldn't want to do that. But I would want to get him like 5 or 6 receptions or 5 or 6 targets.
I was going to say, maybe some more work in the passing game. Can get you up to like 22, 23.
Maybe 15 carries, 15 to 18 carries, and like 5 to 8 pass targets, something like that.
Yeah.
And a couple screens in there that you've worked on, because like there's no screen.
You were begging for a screen in that game. They didn't do it until like the fourth quarter or third quarter.
There's not a screen that exists that they can't run with him that won't work. Like, yeah. He's like the perfect screen back. Like, middle.
As soon as they did it, I think it was a productive screen.
Wide,
I don't know how.
Side, short side, wherever the hell you want to do. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah. It set up a touchdown. So it's like, and they ran one with Hockenson too, who's also really good at the tight end screen game, which we saw a little bit of. I hope we see more of that from them. And I think that we probably will. Like, I think we'll see more finally this year, you know, more jet stuff, more two-back stuff, more different stuff. Because I think what we're going to see as we go forward with Goff's limitations and everything else, like, they're going to have to find creative ways to move the ball and score. And that includes, you know, especially when Jameson gets back. And if Goff's struggling, it's like, okay, well, whatever. Run him on jets, get him in space, and just get the ball in his hands and let's see what happens. But you can see the damage, right? Okay, so if you could picture Jameson Williams out there running around with Swift
and
Hockenson.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about something, right? And we haven't even talked about St. Brown or whatever. That is what we're talking about. Like, Swift is the real deal when he's...
That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun when all those dudes are on the field.
I think that's what people should think about when they watch him, you know, right now running around and just... Anytime he gets into one of those situations where it's like Lions have 3 blockers in space against 3 defenders... And he's got the ball. It's like, well, he's going to get by this. It's going to be a 35-yard play, right? I mean, he's got it in space. I think we've always known that. And, you know, this summer was good for him. Camp was good for him. Hopefully the ankle for him is nothing more than just precaution, whatever. We'll see. But a good start for him, a good start for the backfield in general. And you mentioned the offensive line, Colton. There is some bad news there, of course, in that Vitae is... out with, I don't know, did Campbell say how long? He had back surgery recently.
He went to Dallas for back surgery, yeah. So I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. Yeah. I mean, he didn't want to rule him out. He's like, I'm not ruling him out for the rest of the season, but he did go to Dallas for the surgery. So, you know, we'll have to see about him. I think Fraley said he's in good spirits. Like, he texted him, said, I'll be back, coach. So
yeah,
that's encouraging, but we'll just have to see with him. And honestly, like, You look at the practice report from Wednesday, you know, Decker didn't practice. Ragnow, Frank is still going to miss some time. Like, they're going to, you know, ease him into things. Jonah Jackson was limited. So they've got some dudes that are kind of banged up already. That's not encouraging. That's four of their starting five offensive line. Like, Sewell's the only one that's, like, happy and ready to go. He's, like, going to punt somebody next time he sees
part of that out is the field. Like,
he's, like, ready to go at all times.
Part of that is going to be how it is. And Decker, I think, is going to miss days this year just on load in general.
And that makes sense. Yeah, right? I don't think it's anything to read.
And I think that Jackson probably should, too, going forward, because he's had a lot of reps on him in the last couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, that's something you have to go through and work through. And the fact that they already went out and they signed who was it? They signed the guy from Philly off waivers here today, which makes me wonder, because with Vitae going out, okay, Stenberg wasn't great. If they're bringing another guy, you know, is Kramer available still, or is he still hurt? Like,
he's still hurt. He didn't practice with him.
So Kramer, so it looks like he's still out, and Stenberg is probably your option, which means he has to just get better and the rest of the guys have to grind through it. But you know what? Overall, though, I mean, look, Ragnow was hurt and still played pretty well. I mean, good enough. He had some hiccups here and there. He had the bad snap and a couple things I think that he normally doesn't go through in pass pro. But I think otherwise he was what you need him to be. And the line did what it needed against a really good front seven, kind of banged up. So we can't really complain too much about that, I don't think. It was a pretty good start up front.
Yeah, Fraley seemed to like the effort that he got from those guys up front, especially Frank. He said one thing about Frank, he's going to battle. You know, I think he gave it all he could. You'd expect them to, you know, heal up over time. So if they keep giving him these Wednesdays off, probably limit him Thursday, I think he'll be fine. He'll get better over time. You don't have to worry about him.
I think that's what we'll see. I think, and I don't know if I would totally right off the shoot start panicking about guys, the offensive linemen being on that practice report every day or for the first couple of days of the week anyway, except for Vitae, obviously. But like, if Decker is on there, or even if Sewell's on there once in a while and they're just like, whatever, we gave him the day off. I get it, because, you know, their bodies aren't going to be, like they always say, like, no one's going to be healthy the rest of the year, and it starts right there. And that's kind of the risk you run when you invest so heavy up front. It's like, those guys get hurt a lot, and so they have to be able to play through it. And that is now two big ones for Vitae in the last 3 years, which, you know, those back surgeries, I don't want to speculate, because there's different types of back surgery. They're, you know, obviously, there's never... People say back surgery, and that can encompass a lot of different stuff. But it's never good with football, especially a lineman. And he's had foot problems and everything else there, too. Not a young guy. We'll see. If he can come back this year, that would be impressive. But, I mean, maybe the surgery isn't – maybe it wasn't that invasive. I don't know.
Big opportunity for Logan Stenberg.
Oh, God. Yes.
You know, step up and maybe take this job, maybe?
Look.
He's got a chance.
Last week was not good. It was rough start. You know, it was his first one. And that happens. It wasn't a total disaster. I will say that it could have been worse. I've seen worse. Look, I was telling you before we started, first thing is I'd watched 16 offenses this week. I've seen worse. I've seen worse guard play than Logan. He wasn't the worst one. But he wasn't good. He wasn't good in pass pro, especially. And that's the thing, you know, that we talk about with the quickness and everything else that he's going to have to overcome and figure out. I did question, you know, a little bit of, he did play on the right side, so it ended up being okay. But, like, I think Campbell said earlier in the week, maybe he'd play left. But either way, it's a big opportunity for him. I liked what he did in the run game. I think everybody's liked what he did in the run game for the last several weeks. But I'm not going to throw in the towel, because he has impressed, or I guess surprised me a few times. I thought he was going to get cut, like, 3 years ago. Basically, like, he's made strides, and he hung in there and battled. He had the back-to-back offsides, and they powered through it and scored a touchdown on that drive. So, like, I think he's got some perseverance. I think there's something in there. They haven't given up on him, I think, for a reason. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't great to start, and it needs to be better.
These guys are also kind of rallying around him. Like, Fraley told a great story today where it was the drive. Was that the first drive where they had the two false starts on him?
Yeah, back-to-back.
And, you know, obviously Fraley's like, yeah, I'm pissed. Like, we scored a touchdown, but, you know, I'm waiting for him. I'm staring him down. He's coming back over the sideline. All of a sudden, my veteran linemen come up to me and they're like, coach, let him go. Just let him go. You know, he'll be fine. He'll get used to it, you know. And he was like, you know what? I listened to them. I was like, you know what? This, you're right. This is his first career start. And then he told another story where he's like, I remember my first career start. I think it was when he was with the Eagles, and he said he like fumbled, he botched a snap,
he down a snap.
And low snap, the other team recovered and scored immediately, and they lost the game. So he's like, his first start was a lot better than mine. And so I think they are going to ease him in. Like, you know, Fraley was kind of like, you know what? We understand it's his first career start. He's going to grow. He's going to learn. Mm-hmm. And he's got a big opportunity in front of him because he's going to be the guy here, you know, until unless he keeps playing bad, I guess. But he's got a big chance with Vitae out, and I think they hope more than anything that he kind of takes his job and runs with it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal for them because, I mean, like, if they don't have to continue, if they just have a – he's a young guy. I mean, he's not an old player. He's a guy that's still on his rookie deal. You know, it's a, he's here. You don't have to – he's not going to be expensive if he continues to improve and play better. Like, this, him or Kramer taking that job is what you want this year. Like, that's sneakily become now, if Vitae's out, and he's going to be out for a while, as a back surgery would indicate, Kramer, I'm a little nervous about now because they've continued to add guys at his spot and he hasn't practiced. But if he can get healthy, him and Stenberg keep pushing each other, this is the opportunity. Your homegrown guys that you develop right here, they take the spot and you give them the contract.
Four of those Bob Quinn draft picks.
Four of those Bob Quinn. Playing the long game was Bob Quinn with the Logan Stenberg start. But we're going to take a break here and pause on the Zoom, come right back on the other side, and talk a little more offense, and then wrap it up with the defense.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Okay, we're back. We'll wrap up on the offensive side here and then swoop over to the defense. In general thoughts, Colton, in the end, I think that, you know, we talked about it at the top that there was a lot left on the field and that Goff realized that immediately. I think obviously that's a good thing. You know, I think he was frustrated, rightly so, after the game. It felt different to me than it did last year at times, where he did not play well in games and sort of wanted to sort of act like he thought he did. I was like, I don't like that. This wasn't that. He didn't play well, and he can play better. And I think Campbell sort of sounded that way, too. general thoughts on the, I mean, that was a solid day, considering that there were a lot of mistakes and a lot of things can get better. Overall, I wouldn't panic. He scored 35 points. That should be enough to win at home. I mean, your thoughts all, overall there, yeah.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for me. I mean, most weeks you're going to win with 35 points. And really, right. I know they lost 38-35, but, you know, the offense contributed to 7 of those points.
For they
the
did. Eagles, so. It's true. That is very true. Can't
not
do that.
All, it's not all in the defense that people want to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, that would have been the second most points they scored all of 2021. And they did this week one against a really good Eagles defense.
And ran the shit out of the ball, too.
Yeah. They did. They right. really dominate up there. So,
yeah.
That's encouraging to me. I mean, I guess we'll have to see if they can keep it up. But I don't know how much. And again, it's they're at a point right now, and we have to talk about it. They're at a point right now where they're mad at scoring 35 points. Like they could have scored 50, like Goff said. Maybe not 50.
Yeah.
But even in the 40s, like that was totally attainable, and they didn't.
That's what
do
you
it.
Want.
Mad.
That's what you want. Yeah,
that's
right.
a good place to be. They got to keep it up, but that's a good spot for week one.
I agree. That's a great place to be, and you flip it around and say to the defense, and you say, okay, well, maybe not as great. Yeah. In some of these places. But, you know, in some of them a little bit better, and some of them maybe not. It was an adventure of a day for Aaron Glenn's defense. And I guess, for Colton, it starts with the thing that I was maybe frustrated the most with was it seemed like, to me, they did not... They underestimated, clearly, I thought, the impact Hurts can have with his feet. Like, it just did not seem... And now, I give Aaron... You know, they adjusted... You know, I tweeted out, you know, a clip I think you included in that story about some of the pressures they put in that are specifically designed for mobile quarterbacks and all that sort of stuff. And they adjusted and they stopped all that. But the first quarter and a half was a disaster because they could not get off the field because he's killing them in space. That, to me, was a frustrating thing because it's like, what were you doing for the last 2 weeks, right?
Well, here's my thing off that game. Campbell said all of this after the Falcons game when Desmond Ridder and Mariota ran for 82 yards combined, I think, in that first preseason game. He's like,
yeah,
the mobile quarterbacks might give us some trouble.
Killing
it's
us.
Like, you have some ways to get around that. You can either sign one for the
you
practice
sign
squad,
one.
give you a look. You can do – eventually, like you mentioned, they, like, adjusted. But why did it take you that long, like, to figure out Jalen Hurts, of all people? Like, you knew
it's
you had
his best asset
for this guy. This specific guy. And I get it, like some of it, a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, you know, like some of these younger guys, it's like you're not really going to get a feel for it until you're out there, like going against those dudes on a Sunday. I get that. And like measuring up to that level of an athlete. But man, it's like you hear Campbell say the same things. And it's like, and he took credit for it. He's like, that's on me. I didn't get the guys prepared. Like, we didn't get the guys prepared. He said that on Monday. So it's just like,
I mean,
I don't know if anyone wants to hear this now. It's like kind of
no. It's that's a tough one. Yeah.
The good thing is they really don't play anyone else like Jalen Hurts on schedule, like going forward. So you got some guys that can run, but not the way that he does. Not the way that he, you know, gets out of the pocket and just uses his legs to get those extra yards when things break down around him. So not too many, at least.
Not too many, and I not exactly like that. And I think that the fact that they have they did adjust because they do. I think that's the frustrating thing. They have better athletes this year. And they, if you put them in the right spots, I think you've got guys that would have a better chance of making that play against him. And we saw that, you know, later in the game.
Yeah.
But I want to start up front where everybody wanted to talk about Aiden Hutchinson and the front. They end up with 19 pressures, I believe it was, total in this game. And only one landed. And I think it was only maybe 3 hits on him. Like, clean hits, right, in the pocket. Mm-hmm. So, that's a good news, bad news situation, obviously. And Hutchinson and Kaminsky were tied with the lead in the pressures. They both had 3. And it was a case of you're playing a really good line. Lane Johnson and those guys, Kelsey, that's a really good offensive line. And I liked what I saw from Hutchinson and really the rest of those guys, but we'll talk about Aiden because that's the big one, the number 2 pick. I liked what I saw from him physically. He was able to get knocked back more than a few times when he needed to, set a hard edge, do those things. I think he made a really nice play on Hurts that bounced the ball back. He was in on more tackles and more plays than probably you saw on the sheet. But 2 things. He did wear out. He was gassed at the end of the first quarter and into the second quarter, and it took him a minute to gather himself. I think he got back a little bit toward the end of the game, but middle of the game did not feel like the normal Aiden Hutchinson that
full
you're
full throttle.
Seeing, right?
Yeah.
Just didn't. I think that was pretty noticeable. And then number 2, people asked me a lot about, you know, they're rushing him inside with Kaminsky. Why are they doing that? And I would say this. In this game, Philly's tackles are both really long. Lane and the other dude, I forget the other guy's name, are both like exceptionally long tackles. Aiden, as we know, is not a long edge. And the couple times that they did have him just go run off the edge, he got ate up by Lane Johnson's length. And in those matchups, as a pass rusher, he's going to have to work around things. And that's something that he's going to have to continue to work and develop his game on. But it's also something where the Lions, I believe, matchup-wise, will see that and move him inside and tinker with him. But overall, look, I thought physically what you need to see because he can hang at this level. But everything else is still sort of in progress and kind of coming along. And I think that's fine. I was not shocked by that performance. It was about what I thought it would be.
Yeah. I mean, against that offensive line, first game, you're like he's a rookie, guys. I know
100%. That's a legit group right there.
I think part of it is also on the coaching staff because they've never said a bad thing about this kid. Like,
well, sure.
And like, that's fair. You're raising expectations to where people think it's like
the fans,
Nick Bosa, like week one. And it's like, all right, guys, he'll get there. He might need a little bit more time, but like, you know, he's a good player. He'll have a good career, all that stuff.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, week one, like, the hype was real from Hard Knocks, from the coaching staff. Like every interview was like, he's a golden child.
Yeah, like, right. Okay. And he's going to get 18 sacks. And it was like, okay, yeah, that's probably a bit much. But if you go back and read everything that we wrote before the draft, it was like Aiden Hutchinson, of the edge guys, was the best edge against the run, including Trayvon Walker, in terms of discipline, defend the run, all that. We had him scouted as probably the best edge against the run. And probably the worst edge against in terms of pass rush. Trayvon and Kayvon Thibodeaux were way better than him in terms of all the things they can do to get into the backfield and make things happen consistently. And that's something he's just going to have. Like, that's what makes the Bosas the Bosas. They are technical monsters every time they come off the ball. And that's the task that Aiden will have to continue to put in his arsenal. And I think the great thing and the reason why they don't get worried about him and the reason why they continue to talk about him like that, it's not just because I think they're trying to talk themselves into thinking this guy's the right draft pick, as we see teams do. But I think that they see how he works, you know, and this isn't the first time he's had a rough go. I mean, you remember the first day of practice this year, he got the shit kicked out of him on like the second snap, and Sewell dominated him for like the whole day. Full pads, yeah. And then like 3-4 days later, we go back out there and it's a little different. And so, look, this is just how it goes with him, I think. And game one, we'll see if it has to be better in game two, obviously. If it's not better in game two, then we got a different conversation. But I was not stunned by much. And I think that there's a lot of people still that want to see him struggle because he played at Michigan and not Michigan State or
do you want to talk about this? Because my mentions, and I know I have a lot
of Michigan State. You got the microphone. Go for it.
I know I have a lot of Michigan State followers, obviously, but you guys got to chill. Like, if you're a Lions fan and a Michigan State fan, and you're out here, like, tweeting at me, like, oh, Aiden didn't do anything. I didn't watch the game, but my box
was a ghost.
He had one tackle. You got to stop. Like, come on, man. It's week one against that offensive line, against that quarterback. If you're rooting for him to fail, whatever. That's weird if you're a Lions fan and also an MC fan, but, like,
that's weird. Yeah.
My God, like, people were insane.
It was like, I knew it was going to be bad. We had some of that a couple years ago when they drafted Okuda with the Michigan fans that were like, I hate this guy. Like, no matter what he does, I knew he was a bum. You see, I told you. You should have drafted that other guy. You know, and some of that happens every year, regardless with Lions pick. But this was like kind of the perfect storm to where I felt like I actually thought it was going to get bad in the first preseason game. And then he went out and had that like TFL in the first play. And I was like, oh shit, some people are not going to be able to say anything for a while. And they laid in wait. And they were waiting for this one. So, you know, whatever. It was a rookie start for a rookie.
and let me clarify, if you are a Michigan State fan and not a Lions fan, go ahead and talk your shit. You
know? Yeah, so, that's great.
I don't care. But like, I just think it's weird if you're both to just like, oh, he went to Michigan, so I already consider him a bust in my mind. Like, that's just weird to me.
And I ask is that you pay attention. Just be like, hey, just watch the game, okay? Like, he did not have 8 sacks. He could have played better, obviously, and all this. And the whole group, I think you could say the same thing. And right now, I think also with him wearing out, I think he played nearly 70 snaps. You know, they're thin up there. You know, Chris was talking about this to me during the game a little bit. Like, maybe it was Sunday night after. Like, until they get all their guys back, you know, Romeo, Julian, everybody that we're talking about, Pascal. I don't know what you do. Yeah, Levi, I mean, it's going to be hard. And, you know, you want to match up guys a little bit now and again. You want to see if you can get Aiden fresh against a guard who he can beat and see what happens, right? Like, you can't necessarily do that right now. And that's another thing to take into context. And frankly, overall, after they made the adjustments up front, I think we'll talk about this in a second with Derek Barnes, but Malcolm played well. I thought Anzalone played well. After they made the adjustments with Hurts, I thought they did okay against the run. I thought they were, and we said that we expected them to be tougher to run against this year, and I thought traditional run stuff, other than the last play where Kelsey was Kelsey, they were hard to run against. I thought they were a challenge up there, which is what you want to see. Malcolm made some plays. I think that was good.
Yeah, I agree. I will say Campbell, he kind of alluded to the fact that Aiden needs some help too.
And he does.
Some of those guys weren't really doing their jobs. So.
And that's going to happen with his position. And that's something that, look, I covered Rashawn Gary at Michigan, and I dealt with all that bullshit. And look at him now. Look at him now. Rashawn Gary's got, he had like 2 sacks last week, and now he's got paid, of course, because we all knew he would. But it was back then when they had him playing the heavy end. He's taking on doubles. He's eating the edge. He's setting the edge. He's setting other people up for success. That's part of his job. And I know people out there are going to hate when I say that, but that's part of his job. So deal with it. One guy that needs to improve, though, we can all agree on, is Barnes. He's the guy that I circled in terms of the whole thing and was like, this cannot happen again. He can't have a game like that again the rest of the way. Like, he missed some really critical gotta-have-it tackles that killed them in this game, including the one at the end that, he cut off Hutchinson, who was probably going to make the play.
I couldn't tell if Hutchinson cut him off or Barnes cut
him
over.
Derek, took the wrong... It was not a good day for him at all. To get your hands on him like that in that spot and not be able to make that play, that happened a couple times, is really bad. And it's like, I wonder if he's pressing too hard and if Malcolm has him nervous. I don't know. But, he has to settle down and start making plays because Jalen Hurts' ability to make things happen with his feet, that's why you need Derek Barnes on the field.
Yeah, an athlete like that.
Oh, yeah. When he's under control and knows what he's doing and can cut it loose, he's your antidote for that. But when he's not, he's a complete liability and you can't have him out there. And so, I don't know. I mean, they're rotating still, but your thoughts on just the linebacker spot in general and then Barnes specifically?
No, I mean, I think Malcolm might be the... I think Kyle Mike had that... Malcolm was the first, six-round pick to start for the Lions in however many years.
Oh, really?
Something like that, yeah.
Hey.
I should get the full credit there but to Kyle. But, I mean, that kind of shows you where things are right now with the linebackers.
And he was our best one, by the way.
He was. PFF had him, 11th or 12th overall.
I would agree with PFF. He was our best one.
Yeah. Barnes, I think PFF had him
Barnes was bad. He was one of the worst linebackers in the league.
Yeah.
He was 70 he was bad against the run and the pass.
71st out of 77 graded players. Right. They had him at 3 missed tackles.
And they were all gotta have it tackles.
Right. They're right there for him where everything's set up perfectly. You just gotta go ahead and make the play.
Right.
So it didn't happen. But Barnes, man, it's such a double-edged sword because you want him out there against a quarterback because he's so athletic, because he can move, because he can chase him down. But if the other stuff isn't there, you got to put in Malcolm. You got to put in Anzalone because they can actually they know what to do in those situations, and it's tough.
He's still so young, and it's I hate to, because I feel like Rodriguez is ramping up the learning curve for him. Fair or unfair, I don't know, because he's just doing it so quickly, but. Yeah, it's got to happen faster for him because if it can't, then he's going to be a third-year player soon, and then now we're not talking about a young guy anymore. So, this is the time right now where when you think back about, where did it go wrong for Jared Davis? It's right around now when he figured out, I got to start making plays or you're going to fall behind, and then the confidence thing and everything else, and then it snowballs, and then it's all over. And it's just that's sort of – not that those are the same exact situations, but – I look in there and I see a role for him right now, and he could help them in so many ways. And it's they're dying for him to click, to get it to turn the corner. You can tell, just across the board.
And at this point, I'm kind of we can't keep hearing, he's coming along, he's progressing,
right?
Because it seems every time that happens, he takes a step back, and it's he ended the preseason on a high note, and then the first game, you're all right, he's got some momentum,
up and down,
yeah, and it's maybe next game he'll come out and play really well, and we'll be like, all right, so what's week three, what's going
to
happen there?
Speaking of up and down, as we move on to the secondary here, we'll start with the good, okay?
Okay.
And that was Jeff Okuda, who I thought, I don't want to say this without having to go, because I'd have to go back and really look through the 20, because I think he had some days that were better than people give him credit for in 2020. But I thought this was his best game as a pro, probably. Against a good team, good players. He was running with Devonta Smith the whole day. Devonta didn't have any catches. He had the one PI that, unless something happened, like bang, bang, like that I didn't see, I don't know what that PI was. He tackled well, fit the run.
Yeah,
so all things considered, he had the PBU early on the first stop. I think he had two of them, in fact. Really good debut for him. And I bet, loss aside, there probably weren't too many guys that went home with a smile like on their face bigger than that guy, because he probably had to prove to himself a little bit that I can do this again, right?
Oh, and, he absolutely did. Yeah.
And I think that he did a little bit, and that was good to see. Good to see for him, for sure. What are your thoughts on Jeff? And did he talk today or this week at all, or after the game?
He talked after the game. I didn't get a chance to get over there, but... Yeah. I mean, just knowing Jeff and everything he was talking about in the offseason leading up to this, what you just hit on, like, I need to prove this to myself. Mm-hmm. That's all he was saying. Like, I don't care what anyone else thinks of me.
I know that
I can do this, and it's just a matter of me going out in the field and proving it. And
in
terms of week one, that's a hell of a start.
What he did. I agree. Yeah.
You know, first time playing football in a year, like, you know, that's a great start. And, like, yeah, he wasn't a perfect game. I think he'll admit that. And we'll talk to Aaron Glenn tomorrow, so I'm sure he'll have some, you know, further thoughts on that. But, I mean, just getting him out there on the field and, you know, playing the way that he did, where he was serviceable. It was like when he left the game, it was noticeable because they had
Bulldogs
going there, and then AJ torched him for 50 yards.
It fell apart.
And people were like, where's Okuda? Like, we're to that point now where, like, Jeff
needs to be out there. Yeah.
And that's so encouraging. And, I mean, I wrote in the fact or fiction story that posted early today that, you know, can you build around Jeff Okuda? I said TBD, but we're trending in the right direction.
Because hey,
if he's
playing
like that,
yeah,
even if he can be a solid, you know, CB2, you can go out and draft maybe another CB1 or sign someone that can play that role next to him. Like, that's a serviceable guy if he's playing the way that he was playing on Sunday.
I agree.
So
the fact that it's even TBD is improvement. The fact that it's even that we're talking about, because we were at this time last year, we were talking about you have to now basically erase his name off the board, not just take the ink off of it and say you have to put it in pencil. You have to erase his name off the board and say that position's wide open again. You cannot trust that he is going to be there post-injury and he's got to prove it and all these things, which they made him do, which they said. You have to compete for the job. You have to prove to us that you can do it for yourself, all that. And you just hit on it, Colton. If he can continue to prove to be a steady hand and be a guy that you just invest in, you're like, okay, he's going to be here. And like you said, the difference between CB1 and CB2 in this league, you know, at a standard level is probably not that great. He can be a guy that's in your rotation outside starting every day. And if Amani's not that guy, which I think as we go forward, there are questions with him.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can go draft another guy. You can spend some money when it's time to do that. I mean, that's going to be coming up here soon. And maybe that's what they're holding out on and seeing if they can. I wonder about that because I've had a lot of people ask us about the corners. And people that I know that know football pretty well, they're like, what the hell are they doing with the corners, man? Like, what the hell is this? They're not. And my theory on it is they're trying right now to develop the hell out of everybody there that they think is worth. Because I think they still think that Oruwariye can be useful for them down the road. Probably not as a CB1. He's probably not going to be the number one corner here in 2 years.
Yeah.
But maybe he's the three. I don't know. Maybe, you know, or maybe he's the two and Jeff's the one and they find another guy. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, when you look at Jacobs, what they're trying to do with him, they're trying to squeeze all the stuff they can to see who's a keeper before they go get another guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what's going on here. And their hope is, we hope we don't have to get two guys. We hope we just only have to go get one guy. And if Jeff can keep playing like this, hey, maybe that's what you're talking about, right? To your point. And we talked about that, I know, after the game, but like, that's one of the biggest positives maybe of the whole day from Sunday was that he held his own and made some plays and looked like a good football player out there, like that you can depend on. It's what you want to see, right? I mean, that's hard to argue with.
I buy that theory of yours, by the way, just because they do have AG, they do have Aubrey Pleasant. They trust those guys to kind of
maximize the talent
and what they can get out of those guys. And maybe it's not the time to go and spend there because you're still rebuilding, but when it is the time, You have a firm idea of what you have at that position, what you need, and you know,
right.
You can go out
and you wouldn't have to. You're not asking someone to come in and save you
right.
from destitution at the position. You're saying come in and be like the ace in a really good room.
Yes,
or come in and fit in a really good room. Whatever. I think that's what they're. I would guess that they trust, and we've saw this with safety too. I think it's a little bit. Although you can question some of that, but I think they trust their development there. And if we go forward and I'm proven wrong, but I still think that's maybe where that's going. But in the here and now, that doesn't do much good for you because Will Harris is that didn't look good at all in very limited action. And Amani, God love him, man. It's tough. I mean, he has trouble against the run. Every time they go to his side, it ends up being a massacre over there. And he is just not elite in press. And, we'll see. I mean, but every time I say that about him, he bounces back and finds a way to make plays, and maybe that's what he'll do this year. I don't know. But it was up and down there. Safeties, again, I think Tracy Walker, did he end up getting fined? I know he was being investigated or whatever by the NFL.
Yeah.
Tracy's fight aside, which I think Campbell was like, I'm mad about it because they say I have to be mad about it, but I actually don't care or whatever. I thought he played really well before that. I thought he played really well and was playing his ass off. He had like 13 or 14 tackles before he got ejected. So not dropped a pick, but had a pick on his hands that I know he'll be pissed about.
Yeah.
And that was a good day from him, I thought. You'd like to see him finish the game.
Really?
All that.
Day. Yeah.
But hey, man, like for a guy that we challenge a lot on this show and the Lions have challenged a lot to sort of live up to what we think he can be. He keeps on doing it. He gets better a little bit every time we see him, and I thought this was probably his best training camp as a pro, and I thought that was a good start from him.
Yeah, and you know, I think you can kind of maybe chalk up some of the issues late to not having Tracy
probably
on the field.
So. Yep.
So that wasn't great, but you know, he let his emotions get the best of him, and that can't happen from a guy that you consider to be a veteran leader. And you know, he let his team down. He kind of admitted that, like, I got to be better, which is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good that he owned up to it, but it certainly didn't help.
Yeah, no, right, yeah.
In the meantime, though, like before he exited the game, like, he was playing some really good football. He had the lone sack off the backside.
Yep.
Like, was doing his job in every single way. So he was looking like the guy that we had been talking about in camp as a guy that wants to take on that role, that wants to be involved in everything, and that, you know, AG wants the safety to have such an important role on this defense. And he was looking like that guy before he got ejected. Yeah. So.
I think that for the first time in a good minute here, maybe since they traded Diggs, it feels like they've got two safeties back there that you can more or less trust with him and Hughes. Like, that felt like a pretty good group. I didn't see a lot of situations because normally we look out there – in the last couple of years, Chris would know this, and all the listeners on this show, you look out there, and everybody's got it covered, right? And then one of those safeties is like, what the hell are you doing? Where are you? Where are you running to? Like, and then it's like, oh, shit, touchdown. That didn't happen in this game.
No.
And that didn't happen in the preseason.
I thought Elliot was solid, too. Yeah,
Elliot, yes. Hughes, Elliot, all the guys that came in, I thought, played pretty well. I think they're in a good spot there. I think a better spot than they were at this time last year. That keeps getting better and better and better. And I like all the young guys they've kept, Kirby and Melifonwu. I think you're going to continue to get development there. And the old guys that they have there right now, who aren't that old, are playing pretty well. They seem to like each other. And I think that's good. I think that they've got a nice... They're going to play split safety pretty much all the way. That's how AG coaches defense. And you have to have two guys that you can trust, and I feel like they finally do. They're not elite. Like, Tracy is a good NFL safety. He's not an elite NFL safety. And I still think that a case could have been made for, you know, seeing what it would have taken to get C.J. Johnson over here, or Gardner Johnson or whatever. But, like, if you don't want to because you don't want to rock the boat, I get that too. But it was also, like, we had to see it from Tracy, and I think we kind of did. Like, I think that that's – he got a contract in the offseason. Some people kind of questioned whether or not he deserved it. I didn't get that. I thought he absolutely deserved it. But another guy that
– He said he had options of – make more money elsewhere, too.
I think so. And again, I don't think he had to prove anything. I think he's a good player, but maybe he felt like he did. I don't know, because he plays like he... That's a guy who plays like he's got something to prove every time he plays. It's just why he's a captain and they love him. And that's why Campbell was like, we want you to stay here, please. Please, God, stay here. Or whatever. So that was encouraging. But again, you look at it, you say, like, all things together, they're still short. They're still just short in so many areas where it's like you got to be perfect in a lot of spots and you just can't have... The injuries are hurting him. The youth, I think, right now is something that they just have to deal with. But it's hard, to, I guess, to look at that game and be encouraged totally by the defense. But I'm not discouraged, I guess. I'm not
31 points. You know,
yeah, that's not good. You need to win that game. Like, and that's gonna Chris after the game texted me. He's like, Aaron's not gonna sleep for 3 days. They scored 35 and lost at home. Like, that's bad. You can't. And the NFL, man, you got to get those games, and he knows that as well as anybody. But it's weird because I'm not discouraged. We have seen worse. We have seen worse from that group against worse teams, frankly. So,
well, think about it. Like, we talked, like, leading up to the season, this front, we like their defensive line. We like some of their guys up front, mm-hmm. and a lot of pressure is going to be on those guys to get home and create pressure. And
yeah.
They didn't really do it a ton. Like, obviously, when you're playing Jalen Hurts, you can erase some of that. So, going forward, if that is still the formula,
correct.
If they gave up 31 points, it's not good. But if you're playing less mobile quarterbacks and you know those guys are getting home a little bit more often, that helps the rest of the defense entirely. Oh, yeah. So, I think there's, even though, you know, people are like, fire AG.
Well, know, good God, yeah,
not quite, but
he probably could have defended that ball Will Harris had better than Will Harris did, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's like these guys got to make plays on the field. Like, right. AG can only do so much. But yeah. I think going forward, like, there are still reasons to be somewhat optimistic, and maybe that things will be a little bit better. And if you can get that 31 points that you allowed, you know, not counting pick six, if you can get that 31 down to what, 25, 24, and your offense is
24, still, yeah, right. You know,
your yep. offense is still doing its thing. I think you can feel good about that going forward.
This is a big day Sunday here, I feel like. This is a big opportunity for them. Not like a must win or any of that shit, because whatever, who cares? This team's not going to the playoffs. I don't think anybody's realistically on a guarantee of that. But, like, a big opportunity to show to the fans and to everybody who sort of bought the possibility that this team is on the right track. And they are on the right track in a lot of areas, but there's still so many questions that are unanswered. Big opportunity to show up, fix a lot of the errors that were obvious in week one that are fixable, play well, and get a win. Because they can beat that team.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. We're talking about a team coming in here that you can beat. Yeah. They've got some nice players. They've got some good receivers that are going to challenge them. The Lions going to have, you know, Chase Young, all these guys. Like, they've got good players. That's a good football team with some nice pieces. Probably a better talented team than the Lions top to bottom.
Yeah.
But certainly a team they can beat at home. And I don't know if should beat is the right word or not, but, like, that's an opportunity to go out and show that you're different, that this is different. This is not what it was. We're going somewhere different. And I feel like, because you're going to get a good crowd. People are going to be there. They're going to be on for it again. And they're going to give you that so many times. But if you waste it, they're not going to give it back to you. So if you keep botching opportunities like that with good crowds, it's going to start to hurt. And that's why I feel like Sunday is a sneaky big sort of opportunity here early for them to at least play well. I don't know.
Are the Lions favorite on this one? I think it's...
They might be.
2.5-point home favorite. Ew.
So when's the last time that happened?
That's a good question.
Jesus.
That's a really good question.
Especially in September. My God. Like, yeah. I mean, forget coming out of it 1-1 or anything else that, you know, all that. Just, like, prove that you can make the corrections that you have to make and that you're not making regressions either, that your baseline is good enough to compete and do the things you have to do, and if you can make 4 or 5 more plays, you win the game.
Yep.
That's what we need to see, and that's where we're at with it. And I think that the frustration, if they don't get to those situations and they do fall short against teams like this, that frustration will be warranted. And that's a new thing too for this group, who, you know, we've defended them a lot, and rightly so, over the last year was hard to defend them quite a few times. Where it's like, you know, especially when it was early in the season and they hadn't won a game, and people were like, oh my God, are they going to go winless? And I was like, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was easy to defend them because you knew where they were going. And it's still, in a lot of ways, easy to defend a lot of what they're doing. But, you know, like we just said, if you take these opportunities and you can't finish with them, those are going to be hard to unsee, and it's going to be harder to justify to fans, like, that you shouldn't be frustrated, because some of that stuff shouldn't happen anymore, and I think that's fair.
They're kicking themselves because they knew they had a chance to win this game, and they didn't, and they know that this can't continue. And Campbell talked about the crowd getting into it, and, like, if we lose this next game and we go on a snowball here, like, the fans are going to be out of it. Like,
yeah.
It, you know, I think he understands what's at stake coming up here. So
big day on Sunday. Colton and I will be there to break it all down. We'll be back next week to talk about it. You got anything else here today, Colton, before we run out? I don't know. What a long day there up at Allen Park. You'll be back there tomorrow. I know AG talks, right? Coordinators tomorrow?
Coordinators tomorrow. Locker room back open again the next couple days. So, yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll see Carson Wentz and Washington in here on Sunday. Like I said, we'll be here to break it all down. In any event, for Colton, I'm Nick. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.